This is The Guardian.
I'm Grace Dent, and this is Comfort Eating from The Guardian. A podcast where we pay homage to the lesser celebrated foods in life. Because even as a restaurant critic, I believe the food that matters most is often that snack you cobble together when you're curled upon the sofa. Each week, I ask my guest to lift the lid on what comfort foods have seen them through their lives. Because you can tell a lot about a person from what they eat behind closed doors. Just a note, this episode does contain references to suicide and strong language, so please take care while listening. Hello, friends. You find me this week stretching. I'm lying on my back on the sheepskin rug in my living room. I am trying to perform a simple task of just getting my right leg up and then straight. Oh, my knee. Okay, life hack of the week. I think a lot of things you're told you need in life are actually absolutely free. You do not need a £50 a month gym membership. Plus, if you do, you're stretching at home. You don't need to suffer the indignity of the public farting. Another guest is arriving in 30 minutes to comfort eat with me, and truly, I have wanted to meet her for as long as I can remember. Because ladies and gentlemen, this woman about to walk into my living room is a glamour model, a mum of five, a force of nature, a living study of reality TV longevity. She is a survivor. It could only be one person. It's Katie Price. She's been part of our lives for almost 30 years, ever since her first glamour shoot for The Sun's Page 3 in 1996. Since then, there's been six autobiographies, six reality TV series, a Sunday Times best-selling novel, and two appearances on I'm a Celebrity. She is one of the most recognised faces in the country. Now I come to think of it, I reckon that she does her stretching. Oh, I reckon she's quite supple. As you know, I am all about the important questions. What food maketh a woman as productive and well-documented as Katie Price? Come on, we're about to find out.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Oh my God, Katie Price, welcome to Comfort Eating.
I love it. And the best thing is you don't know what's under there. You'd never guess. Do you really not know?
I have no idea what is under that tea towel. That's the best thing though. I was just going to say, before we look at the food, your nan was a topless mermaid on
she
the
was.
South Coast. And she used to sit in a glass tank and punters would put a coin in a telescope to look at her. But apparently, I hear she got the sack in the end for smoking a fag in the tank. Have you ever been sacked from a job?
No, because I work for myself, so I'm not going to sack myself.
Have you never walked out of a job midway? Because I always say I've never been sacked, but I've definitely just stood up and walked out and just never came back.
Sometimes I've wanted to say, do you know what? I'm not feeling this, but I still will do it because I'm professional.
I hear that you have never actually heard a podcast.
Never. So I went to London. They do the podcast show or something I went to, and I had all the audience who had tickets to watch me on stage. And when I said to them, well, do you know what, everyone? I've actually never heard or watched or whatever you do to a podcast. And I think they were mortified because they're like proper geeks at it all. But I haven't.
Will you listen to this podcast?
Well, I'm hearing this one live.
Now, every week, my guest brings me their guilty pleasure, the one thing that they like to put in their chops when no one's looking. Katie, you must be one of the most filmed women in history. But please show me what you hoover up when the cameras have left.
Right, first of all, can I explain before you open this?
I love it when a guest desperately starts trying to explain because I could see a little flicker.
No, I can't wait. I'm starving.
Oh.
Because I'm so random what I like to eat. But this is something, I don't know why I like it. And my kids love it. But people say that's the most tasteless thing ever. But I love the texture and I just love it.
Darling, I want you to unveil your snack.
It's very simple.
Let's see it.
What is that? It's bland.
Okay.
Looks like my cat. I've got a bald sphinx cat. It looks bald. It looks like bald food, doesn't it?
Please explain what your snack is.
My snack is pepper, olive oil, a nice big round juicy mozzarella ball,
yeah,
and avocado.
You know, it's one of the healthiest snacks we've had on here.
And I'm not healthy, but I just love it.
What do you like? I don't even know how to tackle this.
I would polish all of that. I like the texture and I always want to squash that.
Please, please.
Yeah,
Squash the...
Oh, look at that.
Would you not have a little bit of bread?
But not if I'm just going in my fridge. I'm too lazy. This would just be easy to do and quick.
I mean, you're fairly lazy.
I love it.
You're fairly lazy if you can't be asked to even just butter a piece of bread.
But when you get my tub of butter and it's got either Marmite in it or Nutella where the kids have dipped it in and wanted different stuff, I haven't got time to squish it out the way. I love avocado though. Mm. You got this a bit on your lip. No, you've got
it. That's how we do it in Carlo. That's how we wear it.
And I keep eating.
Please keep eating.
No.
The most skillful guests eat everything as they're being interviewed and they don't even think about it. I feel like...
chicken tonight.
Yeah, I feel like chicken tonight. You look so happy with your avocado.
I love it.
This is so good. I'm so happy. I feel like everybody thinks that they know you, like everyone does. And you've been right across the media landscape for almost 30 years. Before you were Katie Price.
I'm taking the bowl.
You were Jordan. Take the bowl. Carry on. Before you were Katie Price, you were Jordan, Patriot Glamour model. Before that, you were Katrina, Amy, Alexandra, Alexis, Infield.
What the hell was my mum on?
Since then, there's been 6 autobiographies, hundreds of hours of reality telly. But do you think that I do know you? Or is there a whole other Katie Price that people just don't know?
I'm very underestimated is what I'd say. Because you never hear about the stuff I do for charity. You never hear that I compete on my horses. You never hear about me walking all the dogs, this, that. You never hear all what I do with the family. There's such a different side. And I'm actually quite boring. I'm such a homely person. I love being at home.
What you're saying is there's a coziness about you.
Love it.
That you don't feel people see or know.
No, they don't.
I've heard this motto with you, never underestimate the pricey.
Exactly.
I admire that motto so much. I have ended up saying it a lot myself about never underestimate the dent.
Do you? I love that.
What is the one thing that really annoys you that you are misjudged about, though?
I think people think I'm proper damaged goods, but I would say I'm a survivor.
Why does it upset you that you think that people might think that you're damaged goods?
Because the media have damaged me a lot. They write all these fake stories. People around me have done stories. I've had a colourful life, but the sad thing is that a lot of people these days, they know Casey Price, but they don't know my Jordan days. And I don't think a lot of people realise I've done a hell of a lot in my life, seen a lot, like good things, worked a lot, but I'm still humble and down to earth.
This roller coaster all began for you career-wise in 1996 when you were 18. I'm always fascinated by how goal-orientated people really are. I'm interested in planners. For instance, when I was 13, I made a plan to leave Carlisle, come to London. Nothing was going to stop me. Looking at your career so far and thinking of the teenager at her first glamour shoot for The Sun and all that's followed, my question is, was there a plan?
My dreams have come true and beyond. We found an English book and basically it said, I either want to be a model, a pop star, or work with horses. And I always wanted a house with my own horses, swimming pool, lots of animals, and I wanted a lot of kids. And I always wanted to get married and have that fairy tale. And my dream car was a Vitara Jeep, a black one, because I wanted to wear a black cat suit in it. How random's that?
So there's a notebook that you've actually written, an English book. What for?
I think I was about 11. So all my dreams have come true.
Did you get the Jeep?
Oh, I've had one, yeah. Well, Range Rover's better than a bloody Vitara. But no, I bought a Vitara Jeep, a grey one, for £1,300 and had it done all pink. And I never drove. I got it for the dogs and it had all Barbie written on the side. So yeah, it was a manual and I loved it.
Let's go back a little bit. We're going to go back to before Jordan, before the modelling.
Yeah.
I want to know about the young Katie, your childhood. Let's think about you, about 9 years old. You're living in Brighton with your mum, your dad, big brother Dan. Your little sister Sophie has just been born.
Yeah.
Tell us about family life.
I always remember at home in the kitchen, my mum would always have like spaghetti bolognese on because she used to say, can you just stir it while I go upstairs? And I remember always going, Mom, is it done? Is it done? You know, when it bubbles.
Yeah.
And then when she had my sister, I loved it. Like, I even remember she had a Dreamer McLaren buggy. I remember it. And it was all like lilac.
So this little baby comes along and you're just excited about the buggy and excited about her.
All of it, all the creams, everything. Cuddling, wrapping them up in blankets. Love it.
See, I just never had that. Like, I just didn't.
Have you got kids?
No.
And so I think you either do or you don't.
Yeah, when I was that age, like, I just remember going to friends' houses that had babies that age. And I didn't like the noise and the screaming. I remember picking babies up and screaming in my ear.
Really, see, I like the challenge of calm. And I don't know why. If you put a baby on when they stop, I've just got that knack.
And you had that as a little girl. And your mum, you're saying your mum used to leave you with the spag bol.
Yes. And what else? Yeah. Do you remember cornflake packets?
Yeah.
Me and my brother used to, when there was a new packet, used to get a toy in it.
Yeah.
So when there was a new packet, when my mum went shopping, mum and dad, I would always open it, not even have the seal, just dig down and get what was in it. They don't do stuff like that these days, do they?
It was so exciting when there was a toy in that.
Wasn't it?
So, like in the Frosties, like something at the bottom of like, or saving up tiger tokens or something.
All of that, do you remember? But food in our house, I've been brought up with big dinners. Look, I didn't even save you avocado. I don't know what my belly's going to be like later. I've had four avocados?
You've eaten two full avocados.
And polished it.
Like, it, honestly, like a wild animal.
But this morning, do you know what my breakfast was?
Coffee and a fag.
No, I don't smoke.
Do you not?
Never smoked in my life.
I just liked a little ciggy.
No, I vape. And that's only been 4 or 5 months and I want to stop that. But I actually had a sausage egg McMuffin McDonald's with two hash browns and an orange juice.
babe, it's barely lunchtime and that was your breakfast.
Yeah. And tonight, I'm going to cook.
I love this woman.
Tonight, everyone loves my roast potatoes.
You're doing roast potatoes
No,
tonight.
I'm not. They want it, but I'm not. Yeah. I am going to do lamb chops. So I like them quite burnt. Mashed potato, peas and gravy.
As a kid and as a teenager, you were really sporty. You swam for Sussex. But it's fair to say your greatest love was horses and you spent a lot of time at your local stables. Let's go there. Take me down to the stables. What is it that you loved about being with horses?
I just love making their beds, brushing them. Yeah. Cleaning their tack, making their food. I spent hours chopping their carrots up, putting the garlic powder in, making my little potion. I like it when they blow their air out and the smell and just kissing their nose.
Is it the caring?
Yeah.
You like the caring?
Loved it, painting their toes. But then I used to love riding out and I remember just singing and talking to my horse. I must look like right and nutter.
But they're just me and
my
horse
kissing its nose.
But when you were a little girl, they must have been especially big and frightening, you know. They could chuck you.
As soon as I finished school, that was it, on my bike. I was a grubby little girl, always in my dirty jumpers, playing around in the fields, getting my horses, just putting the lead rope and head collar on and just gallop up the hill.
So did you own a horse?
I had it on loan. Yeah. And then my mum bought me my first horse when I was 14, and it was an ex-race horse. I remember looking at other girls in the yard who had like Arabs and nice horses and stuff like that, thinking, oh, why can't I have one like that? Because mine was grubby and hairy, but I used to just always want to keep him clean.
Is it hard going to the stables when you're young and there's some girls that have just got really expensive horses and like you?
No, I always just think, oh, I'd love one of them. But now I've had it, got it. So I'm like, doesn't matter now because I worked towards getting what I wanted, so I got it.
Do you think it spurred you on?
I think when you come from a family that's got nothing and you want something, you realise, I've always known the value of money to know you work if you want something.
Being down at the stables, really physical work, really long days.
I was fit. I was so fit.
What were you eating down there?
Suck on the hay.
Pardon?
And suck on the hay. I used to like the juice of it.
Hang on a minute. You used to eat the horse food?
Yeah, so my son does it as well. Like all the little corn bits in, individually, I'll just be like, what does that taste like? I don't know. I just try anything. I don't know. I like smells of things and taste and texture.
So you're a little girl and you're going down to the stables and when you're hungry, you would have a bit of the horse.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't just have like loads, but I'd always try little bits. And it used to have bran. Somebody used to have bran for them. And I used to just eat loads of that. And then the carrots, polos.
So you used to eat the carrots for the horses and the polos?
Yeah. Did you take any sugar cubes. They don't do them anymore.
You just basically became a human horse.
Yeah, but basically, yeah.
Let me ask you one question about school.
Hated it.
Apart from reading, writing and arithmetic, what is the biggest thing that school taught you?
Absolute jack shit.
Really?
I look at the kids' work. Where did algebra get me? Why did they make me learn algebra?
Did you do GCSEs?
Not all of them in the end. No, I hated school. I just wanted to be with the horses. They used to call me a dreamer at school because I used to always say, I'm going to be famous. I'm going to be a pop star or a model. I always used to say it. Just weird. I always...
But no,
no, I wouldn't do a normal job. I can't explain it to her. I just always know. I'd look in the mirror and go, now you're going to be famous in that one. I just knew.
Let's talk about early modelling days. Your first big shoot is when you're 18 for The Sun, and it goes absolutely bananas after that. You are the darling of the tabloids. You're known as Jordan. Everybody wants a piece of you. What is it about the character Jordan that drove everyone crazy, do you think?
I just think it was must have been my personality, because I'm always like, well, what did I do different to anyone else?
But there was something about you at
I don't know what it was.
Point it was the same time as Loaded being massive. They loved you.
Yeah, Melinda Messenger. Yes. She was there.
Yeah.
FHM. I've got so many awards from Decade Girl of the Year, all of that, FHM.
I worked in magazines around that point and I knew loads of the guys from Loaded. And they said that the reason why you and some of the girls that were coming up with you at that time were so popular is because there was a certain glimmer there that felt that boys felt that they could get off with in their dreams.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean?
Definitely in their dreams.
Yeah. But there was it was sexy, but there was a girl next door. Aspect.
I think with me, and people still say it now, if I'm in front of a camera, they say my eyes change. I don't know. I sort of do something with my eyes and they're like, Kate, there's something about you when you're in front of a camera, you just come alive. There's something. People just love watching me do photo shoots. I don't know what it is.
But do you think it's like channeling, like, is it sexy or is it sex?
I don't know. I just love being in front of the camera. It's like I've become an animal. I just know exactly how to pose this, that.
And you always did.
And I still do.
Like from the first time.
Yeah, I love it.
You go to do page three the first time. I mean, that is...
Yeah, I'm but I swear, loved it.
Fucking terrifying.
No, I loved it. It's weird. People used to see me topless on the beach. So to me, it was like, what difference?
But there's a massive difference. Like 20 people see you topless on the beach. Everybody's going to see this when you're on page three. Forever.
It didn't bother me.
Oh my God. This is it. I find that fascinating.
No, I love being in front of the camera. I don't think I'd ever get bored of it.
Did you not walk away on the first day at all and go, well, that's that then. I was really full
because it was Beverly Goodway who did the pictures and it used to fascinate me because as soon as I'd get there, he had to order me two big, large jacket potatoes with loads of butter, cheese, onion, cottage cheese. And he used to say, hey, this is just extraordinary. He just be like, he says, I've never known a girl apart from you who wants to eat two jacket potatoes and then do a shoot. So I always knew, because it was near Holborn, that I'd get there and I'd get these beautiful jackets. I wouldn't have one, that wouldn't fit. It has to be two.
I honestly can't believe what I'm hearing, because if I had to do a bikini shoot like tomorrow, the last jacket potato I would have had would have been about 2022.
But I know how to breathe in. I've mastered how you breathe in.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Success came quick and fast. You were working by day, partying by night. Were you enjoying this flashy life you suddenly had?
Loving life, I was. Sugar Reef, Red Cube, it was all them days. Do you remember them?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And Emporium, the nightclub. And then the other one was Attica. Oh my God, I used to wear my little skirts. They were like 9 inches long. I remember because I used to have them altered to that.
I've got to ask a question I've always wanted to know, right? So you're going out for the night in the 90s and you always used to have a 9-inch skirt with no pockets, obviously.
Nothing.
You'd have like a bikini top or a belt around your boobs. Where was your stuff? Where was your credit card?
My friend's pockets.
Really?
Or their bag. I might have had a tiny one. Yeah, but I don't...
Where was everything?
I don't take anything out with me.
There was no lipstick. Where was your house keys?
old Sally had them, my friend, and we'd all just wear the same lip gloss. Or I'd say to someone, oh, can I borrow your lip gloss in the toilet or something?
Did you never go to leave the house and think, I've got no clothes on?
No, I loved it. The less I had on, the better. And then I used to drive the car, because sometimes I didn't drink, so I'd drive there. So me and Sally used to listen to the music, pull up outside the club, they'd go and park it. We'd be like, whoa, we're getting out now. And I don't know, I love them. I'm smiling because like, they were such good days. Am I allowed to vape in there?
Yeah, vape, please do. When you used to come back from the party, where on the way home, did you used to eat then?
Yes, there was a place at the bottom of Edgware Road. And I remember there was this singer called Finley Quay. I used to see him in there. Do you remember them days? Where's the name? Does that come from?
Finley Quay was an integral part of 90s London at that point.
Isn't it mad? Yeah.
You couldn't go out without seeing him. He was there.
Yeah, and I remember being at Edgware Road, the bottom of it, as if you're coming down. On the right-hand side, there was perfect kebab shops. They did them so well. If it wasn't that, we'd go home, me and Sally, because we lived together then. Beans on toast, always a good one. Or a cup of tea and Marmite on toast. That's all what we'd ever have.
Can I ask you about Hugh Hefner inviting you to stay in his mansion?
Oh, you're there 8 weeks?
You're there 8 weeks. You are the first UK woman to be on the cover of American Playboy. The headline is London's legendary bad girl, Jordan.
I love it.
What is it like in that mansion?
Loved it. And I hear all these stories, them slagging Hugh off. And I'm like, you've got to give him credit. Like, why would you slag him off? I lived and breathed that place. And he'd have a main girlfriend. And on Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays were the nights he'd go out. And
he's got one main girlfriend. And
Holly Madison.
Does he shag the other ones, though? Is he shagging the other
all
ones?
Of them. But he wanted me to be a girlfriend. I just couldn't have sex with him.
Why not?
It's like doing a granddad. It's not for me.
Could you not?
But I like the guy.
Close your eyes and think
no,
of England.
No, I'm not that kind of girl. I'm a emotional girl. Don't do one night stands. Don't do anything like that. I'm emotional and I couldn't bear the thought of if I had a one night stand waking up that rejection. No, thank you. And I haven't been brought up that way either.
How do you know when he wants to have sex with you?
Oh, they all go in his room on a Monday, Wednesday and Friday. It was quite an experience.
The thing I want to know is when you're there, how do you eat? Is there like room service?
There's a phone, not a mobile. A phone is what we had in them days. And you'll dial down. And just ask for what you want. I used to like their macaroni cheese and a hot chocolate. So, and they used to bring it up.
I can't imagine there's a lot of hard carbs and cheese getting eaten in the Playboy
mansion.
Oh, I
did. I just always eat a lot, though.
And then they bring it up for you.
Yeah. And if you want more, you phone down for whatever you want. They would bring anything.
Is that exciting?
Well, when I was that young, it's different. Like, imagine I'm in awe of it all. It's different, isn't it? Then you'd go down, go and see the monkeys and all that if you want to, go and swim in the grotto. These were the days he didn't have parties. Then on a Sunday, he'd always invite directors, producers, famous people to do movie night. And we'd sit at the front with him on the beanbags.
Oh, I've got so many questions. Did you have to have sex with the people that came over?
No, I didn't have sex with anyone.
But did the other girls?
If they, his girlfriends, they did, yeah. But no, people can say it was seedy there, but I didn't. If you want to be in a, you can be in a seedy world anywhere. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like the girls didn't go there and know what they would want to do. But then he treated the girls really well as well.
Are you saying that it's almost like not, it's just as seedy as the stuff that you've seen going on in London?
No, I've seen a lot worse stuff go on in London and stuff. I mean, he looked after everyone who was around him.
I'm going to talk a little bit about reality telly. I could talk to you about it all day. But so I had a taste of it. I was on I'm a Celeb before Christmas.
I saw you.
And I can cope with scrutiny, but I don't thrive under scrutiny. I don't thrive.
I don't think anyone should. I don't think that's healthy.
And when I have small doses of things going really big in the media,
stressful.
I don't like it, right? But I've always felt like you're the queen of it.
I don't like it, but I've had to learn to deal with it. What else can I do? I can't. I always say to people, so if you don't like it, leave the industry. But how can I leave the industry? This is all I know. I only know having a camera in my face. I only know to do photo shoots. I don't know any different. I don't know what it's like to have a 9-to-5 job. I don't know what it's like to get up and commute to a job. I'm only here because the public have made me stay here because they've just fascinated with everything about me. But I don't do anything to create the media. So I don't care if the media never write about me again. I wish they wouldn't because they don't ever say anything nice and positive. I hate the media. I can't say it any more than that. If you don't want to write about me again, don't. Don't care.
Really?
Because they damage my head so much. Yes. I'd say that with full, because I think the journalists have a responsibility. I don't think they realise how they damage people. It's not fun and games with them anymore. It's evil. They don't physically abuse me. They mentally abuse me. And I'm so 100% mean that.
You won Celebrity Big Brother. You were in I'm a Celeb twice. Yeah. And then you've had six of your own reality TV shows.
Yeah.
Do you regret making your life so public?
No, I love filming. I love filming reality because you get to see me. The media is different to TV. Media writes stuff. They put the worst pictures in, the worst headlines. They write crap. Whereas TV programs, I love doing it. They're fun. I just don't like how the media treat me. It's so unfair.
You've been married 3 times.
Rebounds and rebounds. I don't call them real marriages. They're rehearsals.
Peter Andre, not a real marriage?
If you knew what I knew, all I can say on that is if you read my mum's book, because I've sort of been gagged, so I have to be careful what I say. But if you read my mum's book, my mum hasn't been gagged, and there's loads of TikToks that were about now of how he was with me. Was he in love with me? I don't actually know now. I don't know if it was all fake. I don't know. But I was in love with him.
You were with Alex Reid in 2010. Oh,
that is the worst trauma I've been through as well.
Alex.
Oh, mental. Awful. Yeah.
But like...
And then Kieran.
You go back
please.
2013. Kieran Hayer. You were with him for a while, 2013 to 2021.
Because I thought he'd change and he never would. Just cheated. And what broke me was two of my best friends of 25 years who you think have your back. He had long affairs with them as well. I mean, who didn't have an affair? It's all out in the public domain. Destroyed me and he still tries to this day.
Darling, I can see.
It stresses me.
Your face has gone from happiness when we were talking about
sugar. No, because I still have therapy
sugar
about him now.
Reef, to now, there's like,
yeah, I have
you're
therapy
brewing
about
up.
It now, yeah. Trauma.
Today,
all I say is trauma.
If I say to you right now, where do you stand on love right now, today?
I'm exhausted with relationships because I feel I give. And then they don't like it because I'm independent, don't need to rely on them. If that's just my defense mechanism. I've got 5 kids. I would never rely on any man to be a father figure or pay for my kids. I don't want anyone to pay for me. I'm like, it's a defense thing. It's like a pride thing for me. I'm independent. But all I want from a man is loyalty, love, and just let me do my job. Without moaning and bringing me down about what I do or where I go, or because I am a people person and some men don't like it. A lot of them, most of them.
What is the way into your heart? Do you like being wined and dined?
I've never had a man that spoilt me as in taking me shopping. Never. And some of my friends, I'm like, how do you get a man to take you shopping?
I haven't.
You hear like, oh, my man bought me these shoes. Or this, yeah. Or paid for me to go on holiday. And I'm like, what? Where'd you find these men? I've never found any man who are just random. So let's go shopping. Let me buy a pet or come home with a bottle of perfume.
So a man's never said to you, I've got a table for two at a restaurant.
No, get ready and go, no.
Would you like that?
It'd be nice. Never had it.
Let me talk a little bit about your kids. You are a very proud mum of, you've got
love him.
Harvey, 21, Junior, 18, Princess, yeah. 16, Jet, 10, and Bunny, 9. That is...
And I want more.
No.
Yes.
No.
My eggs are getting old.
Maybe you've got a lot of kids.
Oh, no, I'm not done.
A lot of kids.
I'm not done. If I could adopt, I would, but I can't in this country because I've got too many to start with.
How many more do you want?
As many as I can have. That is the absolute truth. It's mad, isn't it?
I find it's such a responsibility, right?
I love it. Chaos. And
chaos. It's the chaos.
Yeah, I love it.
It's
I
the chaos. Have
it. I can't. If I walked in my house one day and no one's in the house, I don't know what I'd do with myself. Like, no, and the kids are always like, Mum, the house is so quiet when you're not here. Because I'm like, kids, I'm home. So, and so then it's like, da-da-da. Then the dogs are everywhere. Because they're all excited. Then the kids are down there. Mum, can I have this? Can I have that? And then I'm like, just give me 5 minutes. Well, I want this for dinner, that for dinner. Okay, I'll do it. Or just wait. Tell me about your school. What have you done here? It's like that. it's exactly like that.
Harvey, your eldest lad, he has complex needs.
Oh, he's hard work, but I love him.
He's blind and autistic.
Shall I tell you what he's got? Because everyone gets confused. His main diagnosis is called SOD, which is septic optic dysplasia, and it's to do with the pituitary gland of the front line of your brain. It's abnormal. So from that, he's got autism, Prader-Willi's, opposite deficit disorder, ADHD, he's cortisol deficient. He's got nystagmus in his eyes, tic disorder and obesity and severe behavioural problems. Prader-Willi's is when you don't feel full up, you just want to eat and eat and eat to the point he's mastered it. When he comes home from college, he's like a ninja. In the middle of the night, you do not hear him creep down to the kitchen, gets everything out the cupboards every day. All in the food, everything, freezer, everything, trying to look for food to eat. So every time I go down, I'm like, Harv, if you had a party for one again, sorry, Mum. You know, anyone who knows anyone with Prader-Willi's, they'd even go through the bins, everything, just to get food.
Would you change any of that, though?
No, not even his eyes. My mum used to look at for stem cells and all of that for his eyes. And I said, right, look at it this way. Harvey was born the way he was. He doesn't know any different. And he lives like a king. Everything's done for him. He has to have his meds,
but
otherwise he'd die. So that's one thing, you do have to do his meds on time. But other than that, he's so hard work, but I love him. He's rewarding because he just loves me so much, never judges me. All he wants is cuddles and kisses. We FaceTime twice a day. He's always drawing me pictures, loads and loads of pictures, and for the family, because we're on a family chat, so I always send them in. The only thing I do hate is when I have to sit at train stations watching trains come in and out while he stands there with his iPad recording them. And all I'm like, Harv, I fucking hate sitting here. Sorry, Mum. I'm like, are you done yet? No, Mum, the next one. And then he's saying if it's the South Western train or the Gatwick Express or this and that. Does my head in trains. I hate trains.
What's the best snack to have when you're sitting with a 21-year-old boy who wants to video trains?
Well, Harvey's is carrot cake, and his favourite carrot cake is from Costco's because it's big and he likes the carrots on it and he draws it. It fascinates me, his relationship with food.
You had your first surgical procedure in 1998. You've had a lot more since then. I've read you saying that you actually really enjoy the anaesthetic. What is it exactly that you love?
I make them do it really slow. When you feel it and I'm like, hey, trying to talk.
When you wake up after you've got like nice bigger boobs or better nose or whatever it is you've had done, what is the very best thing to order off hospital room service?
I always order pasta. But they always give you a bloody sandwich or a tea and a biscuit first, don't they? Because they don't want you to be sick. And I'm like, oh, I want food. Because they make you wait and starve the anaesthetic. And I'm not good at starving. I get hangry. Not angry, hangry.
We're coming to the end of the chat.
To the end, and there's lots we haven't spoken about. So maybe we should do a part two.
Please come back every season.
Why don't we?
Your life, it's fair to say, it's had highs, it's had lows. And finally, in 2021, after a very bumpy time, you got proper therapy.
God, yeah. That's why I went into the Priory, because that's the thing. Like, a lot of people didn't realise what I was going through. So I've been there, the depression where you don't want to get out of bed, this and that, but it was trauma. I was in there for severe traumatic rehabilitation. Whereas the papers, again, said I was in there for addiction of drugs and alcohol. I've never, ever, ever had addiction problems with anything. So it's PTSD. I've got severe PTSD caused by men. But I would never do it again because I just think of the kids' faces. But I was that low. I just didn't want to be there anymore. So that's why I did it. Yeah, so then I went in. My family are really good. So they put me in the car and made sure I went to the Priory.
Did it really help?
It's helped me with relationships. I work a lot about relationships, domestic abuse, self-assertiveness, self-love, yeah. Validation. You go through all of that. But my problem my whole life has been men. That's it. Men have been my problem in my life.
Yeah.
Learning not to jump to one, to the other, to the other, not feeling needy. I've now realised I don't need a man. Just used to block things out. And then you get to a point where it's like white noise in your brain, noise. And you can't focus on anything. It's like noise. And then you start worrying about things. Then you don't start paying or bills and you don't start answering letters and you're not communicating with people because you don't want to. And then before you know it, everything tumbles down into one and then you're in this rut. And then you think you can't get out of this rut. But it's not. It's because you've mentally been ill. Breakdown. And that's why I think the media are cruel, because they know I've been there, but they still torment me like that, torment me. And it, in a way, it's like, I feel they want me dead. I feel the media want me dead. And then they've got that story because they do try. And they did get me to a point as well where I had my breakdown.
Where do you want to be in 10 years?
10 years? I'll probably have a new pair of tits, new face. It's weird because how I feel now is like, I feel like, right, I've been through all my journey. Now I'm going back to square one. Now I know because I've been ripped off, managers. I've had it, trust me. Now I know what I know. And now what I've learned about myself, I can now sit back and I'm opening up my emperor again. And that's what I'll be doing. And that's what I am doing.
My final question, Katie.
That was deep. Jesus.
It was. Thank you for talking.
No, it's
about
fine.
That. My final question, Katie, is possibly the most personal of all.
Oh, here we go. What knickers do I wear? Well, none, actually. And only for photo shoots in the bedroom.
I've heard a rumor about you that you eat raw onion.
Oh, my God. I could eat a red. It has to be a red onion.
No way.
Raw.
No way.
Love it. But I tell you what, I think I've got intolerance with food. There's certain foods I feel bloated. And when I eat an onion, it's not only stink, but I love it.
Katie, nobody feels okay after eating a full onion.
Oh,
that's
really?
Not an intolerance.
I love onion, red onion, raw.
Have you ever done it on OnlyFans?
No, I haven't actually. I think they'd more like me to drink milk. And watch it dringle down rather than an onion.
Katie Price.
Or an ice cream.
I feel like I've been on
a journey.
On a roller coaster at Alton Towers.
Come and join my life for a week.
45 minutes, and I wouldn't swap a single minute of it.
I wouldn't get anyone to stop
amazing.
Me.
Amazing. Thank you for eating with me.
Now, can I come again? I'll do a better dish than that.
Absolutely.
Oh, we'll have cottage pie, mashed potato, lots of ketchup and gravy next.
We'll have some horse food as well.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to try that? I should have done that, you know.
Bit of hay.
Oh, my God. You're going to suck it in the texture in that.
To talk to anyone at any time of the day, you can call the Samaritans on 116 123 or email Joe, J-O, at samaritans.org.
This episode of Comfort Eating was produced by Ruth Abrahams. The executive producer is Lucy Greenwell. The music was written by Axel Cacoutier. Visuals by Sophie Harrow. Mixing and sound design by Solomon King. If you love this podcast, then you'll love my book, Comfort Eating. It's a slice of joy, sprinkled with nostalgia about my family, stories of the making of this podcast, and recipes which will leave you, well, frankly, bewildered. Finally, go on, leave us a review, and you can follow or subscribe so that you never miss an episode.
This is The Guardian.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.